Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Indeed. I've enjoyed our sermon series on Sharpened, Jesus Getting to the Point, and today we're putting down roots. Have you ever wondered at how receptive you have been to the gospel? I guess that comes in degrees. It's not either or, is it? That you have received all of the truth that God wants to reveal to us, and you have taken that truth, and you have done what God wanted you to do. With that, you know, I'm aware in my own life that I've had a good bit of resistance. I've received an awful lot, and in my heart, I want to receive everything that God wants to give to me. But like Paul, I realize that there's another force at work within me, and sometimes I do what I don't want to do and don't do what I want to do, and God is always working with me. But it never ceases to amaze me just how strong our resistance can be sometimes. Fred Craddock tells about his family growing up. Fred Craddock is one of the preachers, one of my favorite preachers along the way. He taught preachers. He taught preaching at Emory University, Candler School of Theology, and that is where I went to school. But he tells about his family and especially the influence of his mother on his life. His mother always took other children to church every Sunday. They were always in Sunday school, always in worship, and very, very active in their church. His dad, on the other hand, never went. He just never showed up in church. When they would come home after Sunday worship services, he would complain a little bit because Sunday dinner was later than, lunch really should be. And if they hadn't been in church, he would have gotten his lunch on time. And just sort of listen like that. Every once in a while, the preacher would call, or somebody would ask him to come and worship and try to be a part of the church. And he always had the same response, Craddock said. Yeah, I know what you want. Another name and another pledge, right? Another name and another pledge. That's the game we play. You don't really care about me. You just want another name and another pledge. Sometimes they would have a revival, and there would be an evangelist there that week. And, you know, when the evangelist comes in, you sort of point the evangelist to the ones, if you're visiting around, that you want them to get. Sick them. Go get him. Go get him. And most of the time, those that are being sought know that they're being sought. But Craddock's dad always said the same thing. And once in their home, he said, my mother was back in the kitchen. She was just cringing, hoping that this wasn't going to become an altercation, hoping that nobody's feelings were going to be hurt, that she wasn't going to be embarrassed by her husband's rather strong response to those who approached him. But he never changed his tune. You don't care about me. Another name, another pledge. Craddock said one time he didn't say that. He said he was now 73 pounds and in a hospital bed. He had been struggling with cancer. They had removed most of his throat. The cancer and the x-rays had just destroyed his throat. They had to put in a metal tube, really, for him to function, so he couldn't eat and he couldn't talk. And Craddock flew to be with his dad, and he was in the hospital room. And while he was there, he just noticed a lot of things, a lot of potted plants and cut flowers and flowers on the eating tray and all over the room. But in addition to that, there were about 20 inches, he said, of notes, cards, you know, expressions of love and prayer and concern and encouragement. And almost every one of those cards came from the people in that church. And Craddock said he picked one up and he was reading it, and his dad got his attention. Of course, he couldn't talk, so he grabbed the Kleenex box and he wrote something on the Kleenex box. It was from Shakespeare. He said, in this harsh world, draw your breath in pain to tell my story. Craddock read that and he said, what is your story, Daddy? And then he wrote, I was wrong. I was wrong. How many times can we go through life, decade after decade, stuck in a position that we have, not opening our hearts, not opening our minds to what God is really wanting to reveal, but out of pride or maybe out of fear? I think a lot of times it's out of fear. I see people all the time that are not going to open their mind to maybe loving people that are different to them because they're afraid of being condemned for loving the way that they love to hate, or afraid that they might be accused of something that is going to challenge them with their actions. And so they won't even consider it. They won't listen, won't even open heart or mind in order to hear some truth that may be seeking to be revealed to us. I've learned something along the way about being a messenger of truth. Have you ever been with people and they just need to be told the truth? They just need to be told where they're going wrong, and they need a little straightening out, and sometimes maybe a little dressing down, and sometimes I just want to tell them the way it is. You know, in all my years, I've never had one person to respond to me when I decided to tell them the way it is, who responded by saying, oh, okay, well, now I understand. You have now shown me the truth, and I've seen the light, and, you know, it's just, well, thank you for doing that. I've learned along the way, you don't tell another adult what to do. Children, you have to tell children what to do. They actually feel good when they know their boundaries and somebody tells them what they can do and what they can't do. But when we get to be adults, I've discovered that we don't respond too well to people telling us what to do, people telling us how to live. And it certainly holds true even when it comes to our faith development and our spiritual life. Sometimes when you're there, and I assume that you're there sitting in that pew right now because you're kind of inviting me in to your heart. You're inviting me into your life. You're inviting the Word of God in. And you're inviting these words that Jesus has just shared with us again that he shared 2,000 years ago. And but are you aware of how sharp Jesus is sometimes in the way that he approaches us? How well he knows our resistance? How well he knows that while we're saying yes, 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 maybe to repentance, maybe to change, there's something else in us that's saying no, 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 and how he tries to get around that. It's one of the things that he's doing in that parable that we had shared with us just a few minutes ago. He said, you know, the kingdom of God, it's like a sower. He goes out to sow seed and he starts broadcasting them here and there, and some of them fall on the hard path. And those seeds that fall on the hard path, they don't get anywhere. They just sit there. And the birds can come and eat them, whatever is going to happen, but there is nothing that's going to come from those seed because it just fell on something so hard. There's nowhere for that seed to go. And then there are other seed that fall in the rocky soil. Now, when you say rocky soil, it doesn't mean soil that's full of rocks. It means a thin soil that has an underlayer of limestone. And the seed will fall into that soil, and it will germinate pretty quickly because the sun will deal with that thin soil, and the seed will come up pretty quick. But as it goes down with its roots to get nourishment, it has nowhere to go. It can't go deep, and the sun comes and scorches it. And he said, some seed fall among the thorns. And you know what that's like. Any of you who've gardened, who have ever thrown seed in a place where there are other things like crabgrass or weeds, trying to think of all the names of the weeds that are in my yard, and I can't pull them up right now, but I know one thing, they grow better than the grass, and if you ever kind of mix that together, you can bet that the weeds are going to win. They just know how to thrive. And Jesus says some of the seed will go into the thorns, into those weeds, and they'll be choked out. He said, but then, you know, some seeds are going to fall into good soil, and it's going to bear a lot of fruit, 30, 60, even 100-fold. How great is that? I don't know about you. I think I've got a little bit of all those soils in my life. There are a few things that God still probably is trying to get through to me that are still falling on hard soil. I know that you want to have all of my life, but I'm not quite ready to give you this little part of my life. I still want to hold on to that. Or, yeah, I'll take that. I'll let that germinate a little bit. But I tell you, if I have other opportunities or if I have to be in a position maybe where I'm going to have to take a stand, maybe I'm going to have to do that even with my friends. Something that could cost me a little bit, maybe. I may not stay with it. I may let those seeds that you planted in that soil go ahead and die. And that busyness, how we hide behind that busyness. Sometimes I think that our life is just like one of those stones, you know, that you throw across the pond and it just skips and skips and skips. And, you know, I've seen people that let their life just kind of skip like that for 50, 60 years. Never slowed down. The speakers are on, the television's on. What are we going to do? Let's go eat tonight. Where are we going to go? Let's pull out Roku. While we're doing that, I'll surf the internet. I'll see how much all these celebrities make. And I'll find some shoes, or I'll look at the cars. And and we just fill up our life with so much busyness, occupations and preoccupations. And it's really hard for us sometimes just to stop and say, you know, what is my life really adding up to? I wonder how God feels about my life, where I'm going, and what I'm doing with my life. But Jesus said, you know, there is the good soil. And that is what you and I probably have experienced some. You probably wouldn't be here today if there hadn't been a lot of people in your life along the way that were spreading seed. And it wouldn't have mattered that they were spreading seed. I mean, I'm talking about good seed, like the love and the acceptance of God. You know, I grew up in a Christian family, but I was probably close to 27 before I let the seed of the love and the unconditional acceptance of God really find root in my life. But I want to tell you, when that good news found root in my life, it changed me. I had already been in the ministry a while, but I suddenly had a kind of peace that I had been searching for all my life, and it certainly changed the way that I see you, the way that I see everybody, because you know what? God unconditionally loves and accepts you, period. You may be like me. You think you got to be worthy of that, that you had to get not only God's approval and acceptance and pleasure to please God before you would ever really get that love. But that's not the way it works. The thing is, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the only way that God's love works. But until we receive it, until we accept God's acceptance of us. I mean, this is good seed. This is seed that tells us that life comes in relationship with God. Not just knowing about God, but actually knowing God. Being in relationship with God. And hearing Jesus when he says, love your neighbor. That's what life is about. You either figure that out or you miss what life is about. And grow in your service and your sharing of this good news, because in that you become more like Christ. You become more the person God created you to be, knows you can be, believes you can be, and is here to make sure that he meets you right where you are, but takes you to where you can be. Good soil. And you've had some. And somebody sowed some seed there. You can probably name some of them. They were in your home. If you were blessed, they were good parents, loving parents, parents that believed in Jesus and believed that the greatest gift they could give you would be to give you a relationship with Jesus Christ. But maybe you didn't have that kind of home. Maybe it was a teacher. Maybe it was a coach. Maybe it was somebody that just took an interest in you. But isn't it great to be able to name some of those people who believe that they should be out there sowing seed, and some of those seed fell into your life and ultimately changed your life? Jesus is saying this not only to the hearers, but I think he's saying this to those that he wanted to encourage. You know, Jesus' disciples, they wanted to do good. They were sincere men who wanted to make a difference in this world, and they wanted to be a part of what Jesus was doing. But you know, as they got out there, they started to meet some indifference. They started to meet some resistance to what they were trying to say and do and give away. And some of them were meeting straight out hostility. And it seemed that the longer they went in their ministry, the greater the hostility grew. And they were looking and saying, Lord, help us to be effective. I mean, show us how. I mean, surely you have a way, maybe four steps or some kind of formula or some kind of gimmick that can help us to make people respond to us. And Jesus was very honest with them. He said, well, that's not the way it works. He said, you're to go out and sow seed. You will find out that many of the seed that you sow will not take root. There will be people that from the very beginning will not listen. There will be people that will not listen very well. And you keep hoping and praying that the soil is good where you're throwing your seed, but you don't know that. And you're not responsible for how the seeds grow. You're not responsible for the results, but you are responsible for going and broadcasting seed in this world to let them know that there's good news and to let them see how God is in their life and in this life together. And I guess that's the way that Jesus looked at it, because he knew that not everybody responded to him, but he knew that some would, and it might take quite a long time. It might take years for some to finally respond to what God was doing through Jesus Christ. I had a very interesting thing happen to me this week. I got a text from somebody in a previous church and told me that Thomas had passed away. Thomas was one of the most interesting men that I've ever been around in my ministry. He called me first on a Christmas Eve. I mean, it was cold, and he had a wife and three children, and they had no money and needed help. And so I responded, and we got them in a hotel and in some living quarters. And, you know, I said, I'm tired of just kind of putting Band-Aids on this and that. Every once in a while, I'd like to take a family and stay with them and get them to where they can stand on their own feet and have a job and have the children squared away and to have a home and to, you know, have the things that are necessary in order to be independent and to live, you know, your life. And so we sort of took them on, and we did. We accomplished most of our goals. We got them in a home and some furniture. Thomas had a job, and it was paying pretty well. It cost a lot of money to get them there, and it took a lot of my time and a lot of the church's time. But I felt real good because those kids were precious. One of them was just barely teenage, and there were two rambunctious little boys that were all boy. And I love them, and they love me, and they could give hugs, and it was great. But I knew all along that Thomas was lying. Thomas just would rather lie than tell the truth. I don't know why, but he was always spinning some kind of story that he thought that would make me, you know, respond in the biggest way. And over time, we got them as far as we could, but I just couldn't take the kind of, you know, the lying that was going on. I mean, they joined our church. They were in worship, and they were in Sunday school, some. But anyway, I had to draw a line. And not long, they lost the apartment. She moved out and went back to her mother. The kids ended up in foster care. And it just kind of broke my heart. It was a disappointment. I had dreams. Those dreams didn't come true. And we had one guy in that church that kind of stayed with Thomas, kind of stayed connected. And this text came to him saying that Thomas had just passed away. He said that this guy, Doug, was really his only friend in the world. Doug just texted and said, "So sad." I said, "It is sad, Doug. I'm glad that he had one friend in this world that he could point to, though." They gave me a number. It was at some facility in Atlanta. I didn't know when the funeral arrangements were going to be, if there was even going to be a funeral. Did they need a pastor? Did they need whatever? And I dialed that number where this text had come from. And Thomas answered the phone. He was still in some kind of scheme, maybe to get Doug to send some money for a funeral or whatever it is. I wasn't really I was surprised actually to hear his voice on the other end of the phone, but you know, I thought, oh, what a waste, you know, all the time, all the money that was spent on this guy and his family. And I, you know, I'm not here to judge Thomas. I've learned, my Lord has taught me never to judge anybody, because I don't know anybody's heart. I can hold them accountable for their actions and for what they do with me, but I can't judge their heart. Jesus said, you got a log in your own eye, so don't notice the speck in the others. You want to judge, you know, judge yourself, but don't try to judge the heart of another person. And I don't. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff there that that none of us will ever see. But I remember when I was thinking, this is so sad, so hopeless. We had a doctor in our Thursday morning Bible study, and he knew how I was feeling about this, and he looked and he said, "Gary," he said, "just remember, these kids, I don't know what their life is going to look like, but you know, someday they may be somewhere where they wonder if God has been noticing them, if God is in their life at all. How does he feel? They may wonder if God loves them. They may wonder if they too are children of God." And you know, when that happens, they may look back and they may remember a church that stepped in and tried to do something at a time when they really needed some help. And a pastor that entered into their life and helped and prayed with them and got them in worship and in church. And said, you never know where these seeds may finally end up producing some root. I don't know. Wouldn't it be great, though, to know that all those places that I have sown seed, all those places that you have sown seed, you didn't see any fruit at all from it. And yet you don't know what those seeds may become out there in the lives of folks. But, well, I'd love to be in heaven one day and run into those kids. I'd love to be in heaven one day and run into Thomas. But, and thank God for the way he works. You know, you sow the seed and you couldn't make anything happen. You're not responsible for the results, but God takes those seeds sometime and does something. And that's what we're here for. You and I are just people that are here to broadcast seed, to make people know that there's a God that loves them and that has shown that in Jesus Christ, and there's a Spirit of Christ that is here that can help you to go from where you are to the fullness of life that God wants you to have. And the church is here to be, you know, seed sowers. And what a gift it is that God puts seed in the hands of people like you and me in order to touch this world in the way that he longs to touch it. When we first put this series together, sharpening, it was at the beginning of school, and we were thinking about all of the seeds that teachers throw out there. Some of those students, you know, listen, and some of them don't, but many times the very ones that you think aren't listening are the ones that come back maybe 20, 30, 40 years later and say, "You never knew this, but you made such a difference in my life. I know I gave you trouble. I know what you had to go through with me, but thank you." And think about those Sunday school teachers and the youth directors and all of those that shared the gospel in some way with you. Just put those seeds there, and it looks pretty good to me. I think some of those seeds bore fruit. God help us to broadcast seed everywhere we can. Will you pray with me? Lord, we are grateful that we were in a place and that we decided to trust you to open our hearts and our minds to the gift of Jesus Christ and to the love that you brought us there. We just pray that you use us now, that you use us in every way that you can, and let us trust you with the results. But let us always know the meaning that's in our life because we are sharing the good news. In Jesus' name, amen.